Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashid Salam, your engineer for tonight's show, the Muslim Global Roundtable, here on IWDM Radio. I'm having some technical difficulties, so bear with me for a moment, please. I'm trying to get this corrected as I move forward, but we look forward to presenting to you our show for this evening. Having really some serious problems here with the system itself. Give me a few minutes here as we move forward to get this item corrected. Let me see. Okay, here we go. Now it's more like it. All right. Once again, this is IWDM Radio. This is Rashid Salam, your engineer for this afternoon's show, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. We are currently on a new Ramadan time. We are normally hosted on Wednesday evenings, and due to the Ramadan schedule, we are now for the rest of this month are offering the show on Saturday afternoons at 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Central, and 10 p.m. Specific. A standard time. Our production always brings to you a distinguished and esteemed guests who are making a difference in our community and our society. And this show is produced by Mark Shaheed, and he is currently the host. So let me bring to you the host and the producer of tonight's show, Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak, my good brother.
Alaikum as-salam and Ramadan Mubarak to you, Rashid Salam, and to the IWDM radio listen audience. As always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Shadu ilaha illallah wa sharika lahu. Wa shahadu anna Muhammadan abduluhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. That is, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger, and what follows in that excellent salutation. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host, the facilitator, and producer of the MGM Roundtable, that is the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. As Rashid Salam has said, this is a special edition in lieu of the month of Ramadan, so that our believers across the country will have that opportunity to break their fast on time and make this Salatul Maghrib and also the iftar with their family and community. I always like to bring and present very distinguished and esteemed guests here on the MGM Roundtable inside of our community and also outside of our community, and take on topics that are pertinent to us as a community. No less today, as we have one of our very distinguished, esteemed, very scholarly, learned imams in association of Imam W.D. Muhammad with us today, who's a student of the Quran, a student of the life example of the Prophet, and also a student of Imam W.D. Muhammad. He's also the former assistant Imam there in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, assistant principal there, and he is currently the assistant imam at the Atlanta Masjid in Atlanta, Georgia. He also is the, I would say, CEO or founder of the Institute of Quranic Studies and Leadership, and now a very distinguished, esteemed author, as he has his inaugural publication, The Message of Al-Islam, God, Universe, and Man. So, and he will be talking about his new publication, upcoming publications, and also the theme that we have for this month at the MGM Roundtable, Fasting in the Month of Ramadan While Feasting on the Quran. It gives me great pleasure and honor to introduce to our radio listening audience Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman. Assalamu alaikum wa Ramadan Mubarak to you, Imam Rashad.
Wa alaikum assalam, Ramadan Mubarak. Brother Mark, how are you?
I'm doing fine, alhamdulillah. How are you today?
Alhamdulillah.
Yes, alhamdulillah. It's an honor to have you back with me here on the MGM Roundtable. And I always like to maximize the minimum, and the minimum is time. And we're going to start first in terms of the publication. This is your first publication, and this I think is a very intriguing title of your first book, The Message of Al-Islam, God, Universe, and Man. And I always like to ask authors, when I have them at the round table, their inspiration and motivation, first in terms of the publication of whatever the literature would be. And, of course, I'm very much aware of the fact that Imam Muhammad asked this community to make sure that we publish books that help and enlighten us in the progress of our community. So, Brother Imam, please share with us this new publication. What is that you can say really inspired or motivated you for this? And this is an introductory publication, Brother Imam.
Yes. Introductory publication. There's a lot behind it. So I'll kind of start from the early days, if I can put it that way. But again, first, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Thank you for having me, Brother Mark. I appreciate the invitation. I enjoyed myself the last time. So alhamdulillah, I'm glad to be back. We, as you mentioned, I mean, years ago, I began studying. This was during the time when Imam Muhammad was conducting his classes in the, you know, south suburbs of the Chicagoland area for several years. So Allah blessed me to be a student in that class, and that's really where my learning has come from, to, you know, just that's given me a foundation as a student of Imam Muhammad, a very strong foundation. And I've, you know, continued as a student of the Imam over the years. And I remember during those times thinking about if it wasn't for my being able to have direct access to Imam Muhammad like I'm having, you know, what would be my understanding of the religion? What would be influencing my thinking? So back in those times, I saw the need for us to produce our own publications, to have our own institutes of knowledge where we would basically establish the knowledge of Al-Islam. What I mean by establish, you know, in a structured based way for the benefit of not only our community, but for the growth of Al-Islam in America. And it's very clear when you're studying Imam Muhammad that, you know, we have a lot to contribute. We have a lot to contribute. So even down to living in Milwaukee and moving here to Atlanta, Georgia, you know, people take Shahada all of the time. And I you can see how right away they take shahada at our masjids, but there's nothing from us to really teach them about the religion. So in other words, you know, if we have a brother who's selling books, or if there's an Islamic bookstore, it's books written by others. And that's not to say that those books are bad. However, we have a unique contribution to be made, and we can't, you know, if it's not being made, then in essence, we are not on our job. So what I wanted to do, among the many things that I had an interest in, I wanted to start off with the first publication as a book that introduces the religion to people. Because another thing that's in my mind is the dawah.
I'm reading these older transcripts from the 80s from Imam Muhammad, and I'm just now really looking at some of the older things. And Imam, that was one of the things he spoke about in regards to us, how, you know, in this one particular instance that I'm reading, I think this is the Gog and Magog lecture, he's talking about, the followers of Minister Farrakhan, they're very active in promoting Minister Farrakhan, but the people that are with him, Imam is saying the people that are with him, you know, they're not moving to get the message out in the same way that was done in the first. So I think that what we have can really save America. And I think, as you know, if America is saved, the world is in a good condition. So really, I would say Black America, what we have can save Black America. And if Black America is saved, America is saved. So I think that it's very important for us to convey the religion of al-Islam from in the way that God has blessed us to understand it. So the first book is really an introduction to the religion from that perspective. But I wrote it in a way that it serves two purposes. Number one, it introduces readers to al-Islam who don't know. It reintroduces Muslims to the most important concepts of the religion, and it serves as an outline for further study. So one of the things that we plan on doing, we're going to have a course this summer, inshallah, going into the details of the major points that we make in the book. I'm doing it somewhat in the classes here at the Atlanta Masjid, but I'm going to go in a more systematic fashion in these courses. And this is curriculum. So that's like the sort of, it's still part of the second, but it's also the third interest, which is to have texts for curriculum for Islamic studies so that we can produce students who would, if they become teachers of the religion, if they become business people, if they become persons who work in our school, they will have a strong understanding in the religion and be able to carry the responsibility of community life with the correct knowledge of the religion as we have it.
Alhamdulillah, that's excellent. And you know, for you to give us somewhat of a prelude in terms of the content of the book and the objectivity of the book itself. And from what I'm hearing, Imam Rahman, it's designed for new shahadas, as you say. It can be a refresher course, a reminder for those who might say seasoned, use the term seasoned believers, but also I can see how that can be a great benefit to those who are not Muslim that actually have an interest in wanting to know something about the Muslim. And yeah. And just from looking at the title there, that's intriguing in and of itself. I think the titles of books can actually capture the attention of people. You said the message of al-Islam, and you're talking about God, the universe, and man. And this has been perplexing to many, many human beings for a long period of time. And I'm quite sure that there are people that are listening here to IWDN Radio, all of them are not Muslim, as you very much aware, whereas that they can get a glimpse of, from an Islamic perspective, how we see God, how we see the universe, how we see man, and how we see the relationship all together. And by this being an introductory book, Brother Imam, this actually implicates when you talk about the introduction that there's more to follow. So I want to give you a few minutes to talk about an upcoming release, inshallah, maybe a little bit after Ramadan. What would that book be titled, and what is it designed to do?
So so we have a couple. The first one is called The Foundations of Al-Islam. So this one is more of a philosophical and slash, it's more of a philosophical analysis of the five pillars. So we're not discussing per se, you know, how to do the steps this way, that way, but what do each of these practices signify? And what are the main components of these practices? So, for example, like when we take the Shahada, what are we actually witnessing and where does it come from? The prayer, what are the main features of the prayer and what are the meanings associated with it? So
yes.
this gets a little bit more extensive.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is a book that, you know, people can buy just in general, but we also have plans to use it for more in-depth study.
Yes.
Because for our institute, right now we have the Quran study as the major three-year program, but we're going to add, we're currently also doing, but we just haven't advertised it. It's sort of like a free add-on, which is Quranic recitation, but that's going to be a new program. And then the second one is just Islamic studies in general. So a part of the Islamic studies program are these books. So the Foundations of Al-Islam deal with the five pillars in their philosophical depth, as Imam Muhammad gave it to us. The next one is it's really a follow-up. It's called the Foundations of the Foundations. So whereas the Foundations of Al-Islam deal with the five pillars in their meaning, the Foundations of the Foundations deal with the four main terms that identify Al-Islam: the religion of peace, the religion of nature, the Millah of Ibrahim, and the religion perfected. So basically it's a progression, because peace is in the very fabric of the universe. And that element of peace, or that quality of peace, extending from God himself, As-Salam, it's extending from his attribute. And as Imam told us, everything in the universe is inclining towards peace. Well, out of the universe comes man, and man has fitrah. And his fitrah expresses itself in the earth, and it wants to be connected in the universe in the proper way. But in order to do that, this is a graduation of consciousness. And the maturity of that consciousness is Abraham. So that's the Milah of Ibrahim. But when Abraham arrived at that height of human consciousness or perception, fulfilling the urge in the soul that was with Adam, and all of it is still the urge to find peace. God showed him the vision, which is the promised land, which was given to Moses and Jesus, but it's fulfilled in Muhammad the Prophet. And Muhammad the Prophet brings the religion that Allah says, this day have I perfected for you your religion. So really, it's sort of a progression showing these four main movements in the history of not only man, but created existence. So it's a follow-up, but it's really like a prequel. You know, sometimes the movie comes out, then the prequel comes out.
Yes.
So that's really how it is, because when we understand the meaning of these five pillars connected with these four ways of viewing Al-Islam, the religion of peace, the religion of the human nature, the Millah of Ibrahim, perfected, those all go together and it makes sense. So we have the four as the foundations of the foundations, and the five being the pillars built upon those four. So this is – and then I have a book on Tawheed explaining that concept. For us, as it relates to the oneness of God, and then, of course, how it carries over into the, as Imam gave it, the oneness of matter, the oneness of life, the oneness of man. So that's another one. And then we have several others, too. So the Articles of Faith, we have a book on the Articles of Faith. We have one on the Imam's commentary on the Ascension. We have one on called The Garden of Man, speaking about the true meaning of the garden, like the garden of the soul, the environment, as well as after the life. So there's really just a lot. I'm not exaggerating. I have a few dozen titles that I'm just going to be working on back to back, because our interest is to really, from a more, I guess, I for want of a better way of putting it, scholarly or academic perspective, give structure to and articulate the school of Imam Muhammad. So we have books in process on epistemology, scientific method, metaphysics, law, legal theory, you know. So that's what I've been compiling for maybe going on 2 decades now, just doing that type of work as a student.
You know, sir.
Taking from Imam Muhammad, researching the Quran in light of how Imam Muhammad has given it to us, and really Allah has blessed me to derive and see things and put things together like this. So that's one. And then the other, so those are the books. And then the other half is what we're doing with the Institute, just really studying the Quran directly, like for our Ramadan class. You know, again, coming from Imam Muhammad's commentary and researching his commentary. Now, you know, just having opportunities to sit with the community and discuss verse by verse, word by word, the insight into the language as Imam gave it to us. A couple other things we want to do, we want to also do this with hadith. So I do have that in mind. That's going to come later, just for the sake of time. We just can't do it all. And then Bible study. We have a comparative religion program we want to do as well. So our sincere interest is to establish institutes of learning in Islamic knowledge that segue into, because Islamic knowledge, again, it's the way of Abraham. It connects us to the universe. So we're talking about advanced study in subjects, you know, like I say, scientific method, legal theory, et cetera, and lay the groundwork for future generations to really build upon whatever we come up with. And so basically what we will have is, you know, we have just this vast ocean of what Imam Muhammad left us. And all we can do is, like, I'm using the ocean as an example because, you know, we, like Allah says, you can go in there and pull up some pearls and corals.
Most definitely.
So that's all we can. But at the same time, you can also offer a map for people to go into the ocean themselves. They say, okay, when you get so far out, there tends to be a lot of this type of fish or this type of coral here. So that's what we want to do for future generations so that we can really set a tradition for us here in America. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. You know, and I know Imam Muhammad well enough to know, like many of our listeners that are listening in, this was the desire of Imam Warthuddin Muhammad, our leader, because he said, it goes back to his father, you know, to do for self.
Yes,
that encompasses a whole lot. That, you know, like you say, there are others that are authors and they're writing from an Islamic perspective, and as you say, that's good. But that doesn't abrogate the responsibility that we have. And, you know, as I listen to you talk about these publications, the upcoming publication on the Five Pillars, I know that should be really, really an interest, especially given from the Tafsir, Clear Explanation by Imam W.D. Muhammad, and because I know he didn't want us to be a ritual, just a ritualized community.
Yes, sir.
Know the significance and know the social significance in it.
Right.
Then it becomes more meaningful to us when we are performing the ritual. We're not performing the ritual in ignorance, you know, because somebody told us this and we saw somebody do this and we're just doing it, you know. And then we have a responsibility as parents, as grandparents, as teachers, to be able to answer the question for our children as they come up. Mommy, why are you doing that? Daddy, why are you doing that? Why are you doing this and that? We should be able to give clear explanation and its significance as to why we are doing what we're doing. So this is excellent, excellent. And, you know, Imam Rahman, I also would say that where you're doing that in Atlanta, I don't know if the objective is to get it in all of the Clara Muhammad schools and other Islamic schools, because this could be good as for a part of the curriculum for teaching. I think that that's vitally important. I know that would be something that I would love to see here in the STL, and I'm quite sure that many listening would want to have those publications. So I am just elated that you have the fortitude and the initiative to take this on, because this is something I've heard the Imam say several occasions, the importance of actually doing this type of work. So we're going to flip the script here for a little bit, and then I want to say to those who may have tuned in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're tuned in to the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And I have as my very distinguished, esteemed guest, Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman. Now, amongst many things that he does, he's an author. And we're just talking about his first publication here, The Message of Al-Islam, God, Universe, and Man, and the upcoming ones in terms of the five pillars and the foundation to the foundation, and many other that he will be publishing. So we're most certainly going to keep our regular listener audience apprised of the progress that you're making with these books and informing them as to where they can get it and everything. So we're going to give you that opportunity at the end of the production, Brother Imam, so that you can provide the information for those who want to purchase. And I'm thinking that everybody that don't have it, I just ordered a case of books, and I'm looking forward to getting them and also making it available for our community here at Al-Mu'minun here in the gateway city of St. Louis. So, Brother Imam, we're going to flip the script, as I said, and want to say to our radio listening audience that if you're listening by way of the Internet, if you have any questions or comments for Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman, you'll have to call into the studio, and that number is 714-816-4673. Once again, the call-in number to the studio is 714-816-4673. Any questions or comments you have, or if what you're hearing here on the MGM Roundtable is resonating with you, I'm quite sure he would like to hear from you too, and we do invite you to call in and press 1. My engineer will alert me that you're in the queue with your hand up, and we'll come to you for your question or comment. So as we flip the script here, Brother Imam, the theme that I have here for the MGM Roundtable this year, well, actually is an old theme that Allah blessed me with about 4 years ago, was, you know, as we fast, Yam fasting in the month of Ramadan, and I thought about what else it is that we do with this fast, and what was most important that we do with this fast, and that is reading the Quran for the 29 to 30 day period that we are fasting. So Allah blessed me and put it on my heart and mind with the theme, fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. So when you're fasting, you know, you're abstaining from something, but when you're feasting, there's plenty to actually eat on. And as a student of the Imam, Imam Muhammad used to give us what he called master keys. And one of those master keys was, he said to us, he said that everything in creation has a counterpart in man. Everything in creation has a likeness in man. So, you know, as I was thinking in terms of actually eating, in terms of feasting, and most of us, we look forward to get closer and closer to the Eid feast, in all where there's a variety of foods and desserts and what have you, in all, that also there is an intellectual food that we take in. And so when we're feasting on the Quran, there's so much that Allah is giving us in each juz of each day that we read. So let's start, Imam Rahman, your insight and perception of fasting. And there's so many different types of fasting, but this is a very unique fast, and it was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as in Hadith Qudsi, it was revealed to the Prophet, I said, fasting is for me. How is it that we should look at this very unique fast that's one of a kind, old prescription? It's an inscription that's been inscribed in our nature and all. But fasting for me, how are we going to look at that, Imam Rahman?
Well, yes. That's the according to that hadith, as you're saying, God says that every act of the son of Adam is for him, for the son of Adam himself, except for fasting. Fasting is for God, and he gives the reward for it. So
yes.
One of the things that we take from that is that the intention of the fasting person should be oriented in such a way that their focus or their aim is to really do it for the pleasure of Allah solely, because God asked them to.
Yes.
Asked them to. So you have other kinds of fast. They may have to do with health. They may have to do with spiritual purification even. Like, my intention is to purify my soul, to discipline myself, to detox, to cleanse my mind. But when we fast in the month of Ramadan, those things are byproducts. We get the spiritual purification. We get the detox. But the intention that we consciously enter into the fast with is that we're doing it for God, because God says so. That's really what that's telling us. So it's really oriented, because the heart is the core of our life. So wherever our heart is oriented, that's really what we get. That's really, like when the Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, said that for everyone is what he intends. Acting for my intention, and for everyone is the reward for what he intends. So what this is saying is that wherever our hearts are oriented, because intention forms in the heart, wherever our intention orients, that's really the result that we're really going to get. So the hadith, again, is saying, expect, do it for God, and we can expect reward directly from God. And some of the reward we know, Allah speaks of how if we, this is also in a hadith, but if we complete the month sincerely, trying our best, then God purifies us. You know, he wipes away our sins.
Yes.
And that's oftentimes expressions like that are overlooked. You know, the wiping away of sins is not really considered, because when we think about sin and the lack of them, the only time that we were really without sin is when we were born. So what's actually being said is that if we complete the month, the reward, one of the rewards from God, is that we will be reborn. We'll be like new babies before God.
Yes.
This is why, as you know, we have the Eid al-Fitr, the return to the original nature that Allah created man in. So that's really our fast. In a nutshell, it's just devotion. It's our, as it relates to this overarching principle, this is something that we're doing for God's pleasure, because God, we are expecting reward for Allah.
Yes.
So, but the nature of it is such, what does Allah ask us to do? He asks us to really restrain, and, you know, after all, siyam or psalm, it means restraint or abstain. It means to abstain. So Allah is really asking us to abstain, not from things that are unlawful. We're always supposed to stay from what's unlawful. We're actually asked to restrain from what is lawful. So that's food, that's drink, that's lawful intercourse with our mates, that's withholding anger, refraining from speaking in ways that are unbecoming of the spirit of the fast. So we are really restraining not only lawful things, but more importantly than lawful, what we would call natural things, natural urges in the flesh. So God is asking us to subdue or subject our own natural impulses for him. And this is important, because when we were children, our natural impulses were innocent. And
yes,
they were aimed at that which Allah created them to be aimed at. This is spoken of in the scripture in many ways, but the most important way for us to see this in this line of discussion is that man was put in the garden. And the garden,
yes,
was the natural environment that the intellect of man was put in authority over. And his authority over the natural environment, or the garden, was sound, and it was withstanding as long as that man kept obedience to God.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment that the man disobeyed the command of God, he slipped and lost the garden. He came
mm-hmm.
out of the garden. So what is the arrangement here? You have nature, the natural world. You have man being put over the natural world, and then God over man, commanding him and informing him as to how he is to live his life as the Khalifa over the natural world. Or to make it more direct, because before, to bring it home even closer, because before we're even over the natural world or even a home, we have to first be over the natural world of our own flesh bodies.
Yes.
So every human being is created to be over the nature of his own flesh, its impulses, its appetites, etc. That's the same as the original man being put over the garden. We are put over the garden of our own self, our own whims, our own flesh, our own emotional state, so on and so forth. But the only way to really manage that responsibility is with the help of God. So Allah, he says that the creation of the heavens and the earth is a bigger creation than man, meaning then that our appetites, our emotional states, all of these components of our human makeup actually can overpower us.
Mm-hmm.
They're stronger than us. This is what
yes.
addiction comes from. This is what these patterns of behavior that are destructive come from, because the material world itself, starting with our own bodies and then influences from the environment, they can overpower us. So we need God's guidance and we need God's authority to empower us to properly manage our physical or our natural environment, meaning the environment of ourself. So really, the month of Ramadan is given to us to put us back into that condition that the first man was put in: God, man, the natural world. And that begins with all of us. So me as an individual servant, I'm obeying God. Fasting is for God. That's my intellect and my heart telling me. My intentions are all concentrated on obeying God. And as a result of that, I'm keeping the urges of my nature, the urges of my flesh body in check. So now you have realignment again. The human
yes.
being aligned properly again. And it's by way of realignment that the light and the help from God comes. Because Allah, he says to the man, when I have fashioned him in due proportion and breathed into him of my spirit. So man has to be properly fashioned. He has to be properly aligned before he can receive the spirit from God. If the flesh is above the intellect, then the man is animal. He's not man. If the intellect is above God, he's a Satan. He's a devil. Because now he sees himself as God. So the proper alignment is the flesh, the rational mind, and the spirit. Or, how we're saying it now, the earth, the man over the earth, and God's will over man. So now, with that proper alignment, we can receive the spirit. So we're really fasting in commemoration of something, which is the revelation of the Quran. Because the prophet, prior to revelation, he had already earned, he already came into this proper alignment. As Muhammad ibn Abdullah, he was a person who was already, his intelligent good sense was in authority over his nature. And both were in submission.
Yes.
And though he didn't know God by name, he was following the will of God as it is deposited in the best of human creation. So that qualified him to receive the coming of the Quran in Laylatul Qadr. So
yes,
we are fast. When we are fasting, we are actually engaging in a discipline that is to make us more and more like the Prophet before revelation even. In control of our appetites, in control of our whims, so on and so forth. And the result of that, the reward for that, is to that we become more appropriate as vessels to, as Allah says of the Quran, none touch it except the purified. So we become purified so that we become better situated to touch, to have access to, contact with the Word of God. And from contact with the Word of God, now we're really, we come out, we come beyond just being Khalifa over our own bodies. But with the Word of God, now we can really qualify to become Khalifa of the exterior environment, the world itself.
Yes.
And shoulder the responsibility for civilization.
Alhamdulillah, that's, man, I tell you, as we say, I'm St. Louis by way of Mississippi, Imam Rahman, we would say, you really said a mouthful there. So I want to say, radio listening audience, you listen to IWDM Radio, you listen to the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, a very distinguished, esteemed guest. Today is Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman giving us great insight in terms of, from an Islamic perspective, how we should be looking at Siyam, fasting in the month of Ramadan. This is your time to ask questions or make comments. What it is that you've heard thus far, and those who are listening in by way of internet, you have to call in to the studio, and that's 714-816-4673. Before we continue, Imam Rahman, get a chance to catch your breath. Usually I'll say to my guests to catch their breath and have a sip of water, but not at this time that we can do that. Rashid Salam, do we have any callers with their hands up that want to ask a question or make a comment to our guests? Or do you have a question or comment that you like to pose to Imam Rahman? Rashid Salam?
Yes, sir. Yes, Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak, my brother Imam. This gives a new meaning. Yes, sir. This gives a new meaning to the word "we make the world." I'm sitting here digesting, as you say, feasting on the Quran, but this Quranic text and concepts that you're bringing out, it just shows that you have ingested quite a bit, and you are delivering a subject matter which I have been begging to see ever since I accepted this way of life, the foundation of the five pillars and the foundation of the foundation, this indoctrination into what we're involved in. I'm just falling in love with it, and I look forward to participating in all of what you just said today, and I'm just excited. And, you know, at the same time, time management came into my mind. I said, my God, this brother is doing all this. I wonder what his time is. Or either he knows how to manage his time. And usually when I say time management, you know how to manage yourself. So alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I just want to thank you for such an eloquent demonstration of what the Quran has done for you, my good brother.
Alhamdulillah.
And Mark, by the way, there's no hands raised at this time. They're
okay, okay. Well, that's good.
Most of us doing.
Well, you know, I praise be to Allah, I don't run out of questions, especially all this great information that's being given. We're going to continue on with the theme that we have for the month of Ramadan, fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. This seems, Brother Imam, you know, as we fast in the month of Ramadan, we're reading a juice each and every day for those that are listening in. That's 1/30th of the Quran that we read each and every day, as the fast could be 29 or 30 days from the beginning, Al-Fatiha, the opening, Al-Nas, which is the 114th surah of the Quran, to the completion of the Quran. And only Allah is the author. He is the only one that's speaking in the Quran. And it was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that message is a universal message and is for all of humankind, all of humanity, if you will. It's not just for Muslims. That's a misnomer. So we want, if you're not Muslim and you're listening in to the roundtable here, know that this is the completion of revelation. This is a favor that God has given to all of us in terms of guiding the human being. He is the one that has created us, and he knows best what it is that we need. And he said that in the Quran in terms of fasting. But feasting on the Quran, Imam Rahman, this seems to be a good combination to get us to, as you say, back to the original nature, whereas that we see in the newborn baby the innocence in the original nature, the innocence and then the obedience to that nature. And really, when we really look at it, Brother Imam, keeping that original nature intact, that really is the religion, as Allah has said. That is the religion, but most men or most minds do not understand that. Your insight, you would, Imam Rahman.
Well, I think you captured it. I mean, I think that's that really does wrap it up, because the what people tend to think of as religion is really a set of rituals, rituals and doctrine, and you know, you have these clergy or classes of holy men and all of these things. But real religion began with the first man, because the first man was created by God. And he was under the command of God, as Allah says, it's not for him the creation and the command. So, from the beginning, man's life was religious. There's no separation between these two. I talk about this a little in the book too. Message of Al-Islam. There's really no difference, because religion. Like our religion is Islam, and it means submission to the will of God.
Yes.
Well, anything that exists in the natural state, meaning that anything that exists in the state or in the form that Allah created that thing to exist in, then that thing is necessarily submitting to the will of God. So by nature, everything that's in a natural state is Muslim. So. The human being that comes into the world when you know, like when the child is born, or the first human being going back to the beginning, this was Muslim. So Muslim and fitra are interchangeable, really, when we understand it from this line of focus. So as God says, that is religion in its correct form, but most people don't know. They don't have the knowledge. They haven't been properly educated. So that's Al-Islam, the Quran and Muhammad's tradition really come, you know, we think about it, to make us Muslim, but we're saying it like a title, like Christian. But as Imam Muhammad told us, Muslim is really human. So the Quran and Muhammad's tradition, they're really coming to just make us human, just to make us human. And if we can become human, that's all the religion we need.
I remember the Imam saying that, and he put a qualifier in front of that. He so that I guess it won't be any misconception of people. He said true human.
Yeah.
Because you know, he said in definition is direction, and it also becomes correction too. Some people will see the physicality, the biology, and say that's human, you know, a human being, you know, actually may not be being human, but like you say, more or less like in an animal stage, and Allah makes references to that in the Quran itself. But true human, this is something I think that That's the type of language that Imam Muhammad say. That's a universal language that you could take anywhere. And if there's a question that's asked, now, what is true human? Well, that true human would be what it is that Allah created all human beings to actually be. But then I think it was reported the prophet say that it was your parents and the environment that you come into that makes us other than that, makes us otherwise. So that true human, I think, really hits home with people, so that their definition of human is not the same as what Imam Muhammad is speaking about. He actually, at one time, I think you probably remember, on that newspaper, Muslim spokesman for the salvation for human salvation. He was a spokesman for human salvation, and I think that, you know, once we understand that that is what it is that we have to maintain and be in accord with the natural creation, because we was creating the same pattern, Brother Imam, and that pattern for we see for the rest of creation is one of obedience. And this is, and this fast, the month of Ramadan, obedience is the key. And as you just so eloquently articulated, this is what got the first man, Adam, out of the garden, disobedience.
Yes.
Returning back to that, Brother Imam.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Again, I mean, I couldn't put it in any better terms than how you have given it. So the human being was created for the true human was created for the world, and the shaitan wanted that which Allah created for the human being. He wanted it for himself, selfishly. So the revealed religion, and specifically the Quran, Al-Islam as revealed in the Quran and Muhammad the Prophet, is to give us really our inheritance back. It's to give us what has been taken away from us. Our inheritance is our true humanity, and our true humanity is Adam, or is to be a servant. Or another way to look at it is that our true humanity is really Muhammad the Prophet. So because Muhammad the Prophet really is Adam in his highest expression, Adam was just the beginning of what will become Muhammad eventually. So, but that life that are in the prophets, that's the inheritance of every human being. So when God reveals, he is really taking up the cause of the orphan. He's taking up the call of the ones who had their natural rights or their natural life denied to them by the circumstances of the world that's under the influence of the Satan. So that's really how that's really where we should be mentally when we engage in all of these things. And if we approach it, if we see it that way, Allah blesses us with the benefit. And, you know, just to close, I mean, that's pretty this kind of reading is the reading that Imam Muhammad, he established in our experience. So he really empowered us to be thinkers and to know the true essence of what this religion is, the revelation of Muhammad the Prophet's leadership. So that's Imam Muhammad as our teacher. And it's fitting when we consider the fact that we are, from African-American history, we are the people who, more than any other group of people, were separated from our humanity or separated from our true inheritance. So Allah permitted that our inheritance be taken away from us to a degree greater than any other people in the history of the world. And at the same time, Allah is establishing for us, is through Imam Muhammad's leadership and his call, his language, is depositing in us the clearest understanding of what the true human being and his inheritance is. So to the same degree that we were robbed, to that degree, if not better, God is replacing what was taken away.
Alhamdulillah, that's excellent. You know, when you were saying that, I actually, when you were speaking about our leader, Imam Warthuddin Muhammad, as we get closer to the top of the hour, because I want to give you some time to talk about your publication, to talk about the institute and everything, and give that information. So we may run over a few minutes, but it won't be very many. The Imam's name, Warthuddin Muhammad. You was talking about the inheritance. This is our inheritance. Talk a little bit about that name, Warthuddin Muhammad. Its significance, if you would, Brother Imam. I don't know if you ever been asked that question or what.
No, I haven't. The literal meaning of it is the inheritor of the religion of Muhammad.
Yes.
Or the inheritor of the nature of Muhammad.
Yes.
It can mean that too, because deen, according to that verse in the 30th surah, 30th verse, is the, it mean, deen is fitra. So.
Yes.
Inheritor of the nature that God displayed in the excellent life of Muhammad the Prophet, which is what we call the religion of the Prophet. So Imam, he actually said that, you know, his father named him Wallace, and that was one of the names Mr. Farad, you know, came, the alias names he used. But at the same time, his father had told him as a young man that Mr. Farad didn't pronounce the name Wallace like that. He said it like Wattis. Years later, Imam said when he became acquainted with Muhammad Abdullah, and Muhammad Abdullah told him, that's not your name, your name is Wattis. He said that it really dawned on him what his father had told him all those years ago. Because the Pakistanis, they pronounce the TH sound like a S or a Z, so Wattis, Wattis. He said when he was on Hajj, and you know, he was afforded an opportunity to greet the Kaaba, if not kiss it. And they were at a gathering of, you know, learned scholars, and they asked him, you know, what was his feeling? How did he feel? What was the effect when he greeted the Kaaba? And he said, like, he felt like he was kissing a new or greeting a newborn child.
Yes.
And he said in that gathering, one of the old sheikhs stood up and said, Imam Warthuddin will be the leader of Muslims in America. So, but when he was telling us this story, I mean, he said the story a few times, but in class he was saying that, he said, you know, at that time I was just, he was still a young man. He wasn't even a leader yet. But
yes.
That old sheikh called him Warthuddin. So these, you know, these people are wise.
Oh,
and
yes.
They have knowledge that's not readily accessible to those who haven't been situated to have that kind of knowledge. And they speak through language. So when Mr. Farad, as the wise man he was, when Mr. Farad was putting the language together of the nation, even him naming Imam Muhammad, everything, he was also speaking to the wise of the Islamic world, the wise of the world, and also the wise of the Islamic world. And they were able to watch and see the ones who were blessed among them. They were able to observe and see the formation of this new child. So Imam becomes the leader. And first, it's, you know, it was Wallace D. Muhammad, but in time he said he changed it to Warthuddin Muhammad. But he went on to say that for him, he doesn't mind, that doesn't touch him in any way, that being his name, because we all are inheritors. He said that doesn't, you know, that doesn't move him in any way. So all of these things are really signs.
Yes.
all of these things are really signs for us that from among the descendants of Africa will come those who will return to the way of Muhammad in its pristine clarity. That's really what we're looking at. And
yes.
Imam Muhammad himself as the figure with that name, he is the one whom God guided to, as he said of himself, to be the first fruit of Islam, to be the one to really initiate that return into to what's rightfully ours. He would be the one to open the door for all of us to enter through and come into that inheritance.
Yes, alhamdulillah. That's excellent, Brother Imam, because that's some excellent information for our community to know that this orientation that we have, this methodology that you're using in the Institute for Quranic Studies and Leadership, and being, I think, a prized student of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, and articulating what it is that he taught you and others for years, and now you're moving to put it in book form and establishing an institute. This is this can't be underscored because we need the institutions to be even a reinforcement. Maybe even in the family life that perhaps many are not getting that these institutes are can and will be beneficial all across the country. And so I'm elated to hear this type of work going on, and I want you to know that I will be supporting it 100% here on IWDM Radio. And I want to give you opportunity in closing, any closing remarks you have for IWDM Radio listeners? I don't know if they got spellbound today or what in terms of the outstanding information you're giving, but I also want you to give the information how you can purchase your first publication, The Message of Al-Islam, God, Universe, and Man, and also something about your institute. I know that enrollment for the next year will be coming up faster than we can realize and all.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever information that you would like to leave with our IWDM Radio listening audience, please do so at this time. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Well, I'll start with the school. We are currently at the last third of the year, but we will be starting enrollment this August for the next school year. So that's what, 2022 into 2023. Year one, the foundations of Quran study or introduction to Quran study. So we want for you all to, as many as possible, to benefit from it, young, old. It doesn't matter if you have a serious interest in studying the language of Imam Muhammad. We believe that this is an excellent program for our community. And in terms of the books, you can the website is iqslpublications.com, iqslpublications.com. The book is available. I believe it's $15 plus shipping. We also, you can do bulk. You can email us about bulk. I really have I really would like to get like 24 in almost in every masjid in our association. Not for the members per se, but, you know, like yesterday we hosted Atlanta Masjid of Al-Islam. We just hosted students from Emory University and their professor for their religious studies class. So we gave one to the professor. I didn't have any more. We sold out, so I was only able to give one for the professor. But it's really good. I want the community to purchase them, but I think that the nature of this book is such, it's good that we have them. You know, we do a lot of interfaith dialogue. We do a lot of relations locally. And I think the book would serve a good purpose for representing our community to the outside. So That's an approach where, you know, masjids can purchase 24, you know, for wholesale. And, you know, it won't be full price. It'll be wholesale, which is basically like half off. And they can just be, you know, I would recommend handing them out. Also, for those who want to purchase them, I recommend not just purchasing them for yourself, but for those who we know who are interested in Islam, people we may at the coffee shop, or like today I went to the gym and the girl that was there asked me if I was fasting, and she let me know that she was fasting. I had no idea. I don't even think she was missing. So this is the time. I mean, Islam is on the rise.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So we people are interested. A brother, we gave a brother shahada just at random the other day. You know, one of our brothers, Sharif Abdul Malik, we buy black. He sent, you know, he has a big following on social media.
Oh, yes.
He invited his followers to fast with him. And he said he got about 50-plus responses from people who are not Muslim. They're fast. So people want to know.
I'm not even lying.
So this is the type of work we want to do. So I'm encouraging everyone to purchase a copy. I think you'll love it. You'll benefit it. You know, the class that we have will be free, and I think you'll really enjoy the class on the book. But at the same time, get an extra one. Get an extra two to hand out or to give to someone who's interested in al-Islam, because we want to get back active in the da'wah, and we want to make sure that al-Islam grows in America, our presence. As the pioneers of al-Islam in America, that our presence remains there. So that's something that we're committed to. So I'll leave it there, Brother Mark.
Oh, well, you know, also, Brother Imam, y'all, excellent. You know, and we should always be thinking about somebody other than ourselves. And just speaking in terms of Ramadan, am I correct? Everything is amplified and multiplied when you're more charitable in this month. And then
that's
we
right.
should be looking forward to at some point Ramadan will end, and is encouraged
right.
to give gifts. What better gift to give? I mean, so think about
right.
you know, think about some of our young people, young adults that we have in the various masajids and Islamic centers across the country. Think about some of the pioneers. Oh boy, would they
That's
love
right.
to have that? You know, I'm a pioneer, so. I'm still working, so alhamdulillah, and I'm going to be pushing the books here in St. Louis, and you gave an excellent idea in terms of introducing it to the outer community. We need it in the community, but the outer community need it as well, and so when you establish those type of relationships, this is a good opportunity to let them know that we have persons among us have a good grasp, an excellent grasp of this way of life. Here's a publication, and for them, $15 is nothing but a drop in the bucket. And you'll be surprised that sometimes it's a greater interest than what we really realize. And as you say, this is excellent in terms of the da'wah effort. If we're looking to improve our da'wah, this would be an excellent publication to really, really get out. And so I'm just waiting for my order to come in and all, and I am encouraging the radio listening audience to purchase the book. I'm encouraging you. I'm a student in the Institute of Quranic Studies and Leadership. Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman is my teacher, and he is excellent. I'm not saying that because he's present. Rashid Salam know that I always speak about this, and I've encouraged the community here. And it is something that we can make an investment, one of the best investments in our own life, and establish a legacy for future generations. So I want to thank you. Any other information, you've got a website that you'd like to give that information out to where they can go and look at the Institute of Quranic Studies and leadership or what, then please do so at this time, Brother Imam.
Well, the IQSLpublications.com is for the book, but the Institute, We don't really have our site. We've just been slow to do one. So, but inshallah, it'll be up this summer at the end of this second year.
Yes, sir. Inshallah. Okay, and so you can go there and purchase the book. And for those here in St. Louis, of course, you can always contact me, and I'll have some, inshallah, hopefully by Salatul Jumu'ah next week, and the book will be on sale. You have an opportunity to get your copy. I have limited copies, so I want to sell out so I can put another order in and keep Imam Rahman busy.
Alhamdulillah.
But thank you so much, Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman. I already know your schedule and everything, and I want to thank you for accepting my invitation. It's always an honor to have you. And I know our radio listening audience, they benefited from the information as well as myself and all. And you have an open invitation here on IWDM Radio, and especially here on the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. So thank you so much, my brother.
I appreciate you, man.
And inshallah, God willing, I'll be tuned in to the Ramadan class that he have, and that's something else that Imam Rahman is doing. Ramadan class each and every day in the month of Ramadan. He is a hard-working brother, and just like Rashid Salam just said, man, do you sleep? I know only Allah says in the Quran, he's the one who neither sleeps nor slumbers. So when do you get some rest, bro?
My wife is she makes a lot of the burden easy. So I have the best help, you know. So I get some good rest.
Alhamdulillah. Well, that's good to have a mate like that, you know, that because the soulmate is the help mate, to balance life. So alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, my brother. I appreciate you greatly.
Thank you, brother.
And inshallah, talk to you a little bit later, and we're gonna continue to push your publications, and as they become available, as you make it known, I also would make it known all the productions here, not only on this production, but the two learning labs on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab that I host, along with Quran Shakir there in ATL, and also Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean down in Miami, Florida, on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. I will make sure that is announced on that those productions that I have. So may Allah continue to bless you and us richly. Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak.
Wa alaikum assalam, Ramadan Mubarak.
Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak, my good brother. Thank you so much.
So there you have it. This is the conclusion of the MGM Roundtable special edition here in lieu of Ramadan. As we will return to our regular time at the end of Ramadan, it follows the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab each and every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. That's the regular time. We want to have a presence here on IWDM Radio. We didn't want to forego and not have any productions during the month of Ramadan, as many can transition their schedule to make sure, including our special guest, Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman. So believe it or not, I took in consideration the class time and all of that to get him on. And you can see he's a valuable commodity in this association as he studied under Imam Muhammad for 7 to 8 years and been very, very dedicated, went on to even more study in all. So you see some of the publications that will be coming, forthcoming. So this is your opportunity to purchase this literature. And if you are blessed to have a Clara Muhammad school, or even if you just have a weekend school, these books could be utilized in terms for curriculum study new Shahadas, those who have an interest in the religion of Al-Islam, would be excellent for them. For those who are seasoned, I say seasoned believers, it would be excellent for you because many were not able to get the insights of Imam W.D. Muhammad, many of our pillars and all. This would be excellent. So $15 is just a drop in the bucket. Some of us spend $15 and can't even explain where it went. What did we get for it? So you know, you just heard it from the author of these books and all. And I just want to say that any of you all that's listening from the STL and what we begin from the ATL, I will be making it available, $15 a copy. You might want to get yours as we just sold out of Brother Ronald Shaheed's book, Following the Leader. You know, so, you know, invest in yourself. You know, we don't hesitate to spend money on clothes, articles, clothes or shoes or whatever. We have so much of that. And we see something that really, really catches our eye. It's impulsive buying, but we'll spend it at the drop of a hat on something that we really don't need, but it just attracts our attention. Well, you know, it should be very attractive to us. If we talk about this original nature that we talked about today, Allah put in that original nature, natural curiosity. And we should never lose that to want to know. And we want to get that truth, and that truth that will set us free. And most certainly, when I think about God, the universe and man, you know, that intrigues me, and it should intrigue you too. So with that being said, we want to also remind you that that's tomorrow. It would be the production of Words Make People, our longest-standing production with Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sair, longtime resident Imam Al-Nur Islamic Center. That happens each and every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And at the beginning of the week, we want to say our latest and greatest production that's hosted by the very distinguished Rashid Salam, who's engineering for me today, but he is a very distinguished esteemed host, along with his recurring co-host, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, The Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. And if you haven't tuned in, you, as the old DJ used to say, look at what you've been missing as you've not been listening. And you need to bring your pen and pad to this learning lab, and you need to let your family members know, your neighbors, your friends, community members know to tune in each and every Tuesday. And they're on the Ramadan schedule, too, up until the end of Ramadan. And that time, starting time, will be 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. That's only during the month of Ramadan. When Ramadan is over, they will resume their normal time on Tuesday, which is a two-hour production, by the way, at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. So please don't get it mixed up. It will be 5 p.m. for the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab, hosted by the very distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam and Instructor Abdul Shaheed. And then Wednesday, it is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Salahuddin and yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And that is on the Ramadan schedule time, and that begins at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. That is the Ramadan time schedule that we have, and when it returns, it will return back to its normally scheduled time on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast time. So please tune in for that, as the conversation is centered around how Ramadan can positively impact and benefit the family life. And then the Sister Learning Lab is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with the very distinguished educator, Karan Shakir, and yours truly, Mark Shaheed. Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab is also on the Ramadan scheduled time, which begins at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast time. We ask that you tune in. And it's the same topic, how Ramadan can positively impact and benefit courtship and also partnership, what we call the Sacred Institution of Marriage. And I think you'll be well pleased at some of the things that we're going to be talking about on these two learning labs. So please tune in for that. And want to thank the radio listening audience, for those of you who found time in your schedule to tune in, to listen in. Hopefully you benefited greatly. A special thanks go to the very distinguished esteemed engineer and also talk show host Rashid Salam for accompanying me here today. I really thank and appreciate him for doing an outstanding job in engineering. And so until next time, this salam is for you, yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum wa Ramadan Mubarak.
Wa alaikum assalam wa Ramadan Mubarak, my brothers.